As I already mentioned a minute ago, Pastor John Mayer from Calvary Chapel of Tulare is here. How many people have met or have heard Pastor John teach? All right, great. So I also have heard Pastor John teach, but he's been at Calvary Chapel of Tulare for 4 years now and has been at many places serving the Lord faithfully. And so he's here to share the word with us. So let's give him a warm welcome.
Thank you, Gino. Thank you for that warm Calvary Hanford welcome. It's great to be with you. Calvary Tulare, I'm actually at floor level, and this is, I feel like I'm in a Baptist church. Oh, that's right. This used to be a Baptist church. Well, it's good to be with you. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. As I get acclimated, it's got the little, I need a shelf, I think. Well, I guess I'll just work with that. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read verses 25 through 34 and take a look at those verses. And I want to address the issue of the level of life that we're living on. I think too often, if you're like me, we live on a lower level than God would have us to live. He wants us to live on a high and holy level. And so often, again, we live at a lower place, on a lower plane, with a lower focus, a lesser focus, a more temporal, a more worldly focus, probably more worldly than we would care to admit. We're probably too invested in this world than we would care to admit. And God wants us to live on a high and holy level. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, we have this instruction to help us. And so let's begin. We'll read again Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this scripture. Thank you for this opportunity to not only gather to worship you, but to sit at your feet, as it were, and have you speak to our hearts. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit who is here to teach us, and so give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say to our hearts. In this hour we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, in this teaching, challenges us with the question on, again, the level of life that we're living. Six times is the word worry mentioned in some form. Three times he says, do not worry. In verse 25, in verse 31, and then in verse 34. Don't worry. And it's in the context of don't worry about your life. It's in the broader context of the struggle that his disciples have, that every disciple has with the the pursuit of wealth and the pursuit of the things of this world. Notice in verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now remember, he's writing this, or he's actually preaching this. It's recorded, this occasion where Jesus saw the multitudes, and then he called his disciples to himself, and he spoke to them, his disciples, saying these words, among other words, Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. But he's saying this to his disciples, you cannot serve God and mammon. Whoa, well, we're your disciples. We're not serving mammon. Oh, okay, well, I'll just tear that out. We'll just skip that part. No, it's a word to his disciples. You cannot serve God and mammon. And he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. If your eye is single, then that's good. But if it's not single, if it's double, so to speak, if it's trying to serve God and serve the world, if it's trying to follow God, but then concerned about the wealth of the world and the pursuit of treasures in this world, then it's bad. He says, because you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. And too often, I think, his disciples think that they can. Oh, no, we can. We can serve God and we can serve mammon. I mean, we've got to live. We need food. We need money. And you got to go out and serve mammon if you're going to get that. Well, Jesus wants to set his disciples free. And so he says, no, don't worry about that. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about your life, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. God will take care of you. That's his point. He wants his disciples to be free of the wrong kinds of pursuits, free to just serve the Lord, to have the Lord as the priority of life. And again, I think too often we settle for a lower kind of life. But the trouble with living life on a lower level where we're scrapping and scraping and trying to make it somehow in this world and feeling the pressure of it more and more as whatever a little bit of wealth, and I'm looking at, I don't see anybody really wealthy. Maybe, you know, sometimes you can't tell. You know, the wealthy guys, they wear kind of older clothes so that you won't hit them up for money, I think. But you know, none of us are probably multimillionaires. But whatever wealth we've been able to accumulate, half of it is gone, isn't it? Whatever little bit of retirement we thought we might have been able to look forward to, well, a big chunk of that is gone. It's so hard to make it in this world, and it's getting harder and harder, isn't it? And it seems that it can draw our focus toward living for this world and pursuing the things of this world and laying up for ourselves treasures on earth rather than investing in heaven. And Jesus wants us to be free. One man said it like this: this passage strikes at our tendency to center our lives around food and clothing, missing life's real meaning. The problem isn't so much that we, you know, can't eat and drink, or that we're worried about what we're going to eat and drink, but worrying to the point where we devote, and here's the thing that I really like about this quote, worrying to the point where we devote our finest energies to making sure we will have enough to live on. Energies that should be devoted to higher things. And the idea is that we invest so much of our energy, of our time, of our treasure, of our talent, of our life into this life, that which is going to perish. Instead, we ought to invest our energies in the kingdom of God. That's to be the priority of our life. And he goes on to say and concludes this thought by saying, then before we know it, our lives have passed and we have missed the central purpose for what for which we were made. Were we made for this world? You know, C.S. Lewis said, if you find that in the world that the things of this world don't satisfy, then maybe you were made for another world. And I hope that all of you have discovered that. That this life, this world, and the things of this world don't satisfy. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. This world has nothing for me. But yet, the world, it's still calling to me. It's attractive. It's alluring. There's pressure. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 about this world that we're not to be conformed to, or as Phillips translates it, don't let the world press you into its mold. And so there's a pull, there's a pressure of the world, and we're drawn to it, and Jesus wants to be free of it. The kingdom of God is to be our priority, not the kingdom of this world, not our own kingdom, but the kingdom of God. You see, the trouble, and this is the first main point, I guess I've made about 10 points, but here's the first main point if you're taking notes. And I want to talk about the trouble of living life on a lower level, on a worldly level, on a level where you're laying up for yourself treasures on earth, where you're investing in this world. The trouble with it is that there's no life there. And that's what he says. He says, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, verse 25, what you're going to drink, nor your body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And the answer is, yes, isn't it? Okay, just making sure you're with me. I mean, it's not life. And it's interesting, the word isn't bio, it isn't zoe, it's psuche. It isn't, you know, physical life, it's the life. Isn't life, or aren't you more than this, you know, your clothing? Aren't you more than food? Isn't there more to you than just the outward? I mean, that's a big part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter in. In other words, he wants to get to the heart. It can't just be outward. It's got to be in the heart. Isn't your life, again, the Greek word psuche, referring to, often translated mind, but the inner man that's going to live forever. Isn't it far more than everything that we see, except for you and me? Isn't it? Well, if that's the case, why are we worried about all that stuff? There's no life there. And if we do, and the problem of doing this, and this is the point, and I think this is the point that Jesus is making so that we're free of doing this. The trouble with living life on a material level is that you miss out on life because there's no life there. Remember in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus came I must really be excited. I don't know what it is, but maybe it's the lightning. But in John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The Lord wants us to have abundant life. And so he says, look, don't worry about this life, the outward life, the things that everybody else is worried about. And our leaders are worried about the outward, our country, our world is so focused on that which is going to perish. And too many of us are swept up in it. And we're invested in it. And again, or maybe I haven't made this point, so I shouldn't say again, but it's not wrong to have investments. It's not wrong to plan for retirement. It's not wrong to, you know, provide for yourself. That's not my point, and that's not the Lord's point. The point is that if we're thinking we're going to have life in those things, then we're going to miss out. So the trouble with living life on a material level is that you'll miss out on abundant life in life, because life is in the Lord. It's in walking with the Lord. It's in relationship with the Lord. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus said that life doesn't consist in the abundance of things that we possess. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Life is not in things. I mean, we know that, right? We have more stuff than we've ever had in the history of mankind. Are we happy? Do we have life now? Of course not. No, because life isn't there. It's a mirage. And I know you know this. I know you're well taught. They have a wonderful pastor. And many of you have walked with the Lord and know the Lord and know His Word. But if you're like me, it's so easy to forget this. It's so easy, again, to invest so much in that which is going to be gone in a puff of smoke. Before you know it, this life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so the trouble of living life on a low level, a worldly level, a material level, a lower spiritual plane, not on this high level, is that there's no life there. Not only will you miss out on abundant life in life, but abundant love in life. In verse 26, notice, again, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" And the answer, of course, is yes. God loves the animals, takes care of the animals. If a sparrow falls to the ground, He knows about it, the Scripture says. But how much more valuable are you than they? And so the Lord loves you, doesn't He? And will take care of you. Has promised to provide all of your need. In fact, as we read, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And then later, in verse 33, or verse 32 rather, "For after all these things that Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things." The Lord knows what you need. The Lord knows what you need before you ask, and He loves you. And will take care of you. And so Jesus says, look, don't worry about your life, because if you do, you'll miss out on the Father's love, on His care. You'll miss out because you'll be trying to provide for yourself. You'll be seeking the things that really are have the potential of leading you away and outside of the Father's care and the Father's provision. You don't want to miss out on God's love and God's care. God loves you and will take care of you. Now, someone would say, well, maybe somebody's thinking, aren't we to work? And the answer is yes, you are to work. The birds, they go out and work as they gather their food. So that's not the point. You know, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. We are to work. His point is that we're to be free. On the other side of the coin, we can be so invested in working and trying to get every dollar we can, every hour of overtime that we can, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and we better get it while the getting is good. We can be so worried about that, so stressed about that, that again, we miss out on the love of God, the care of God. God will take care of us. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. Jesus said, do not worry. Don't worry about your life. The point is, if you focus your life on material things, you'll miss out on abundant life in life and then abundant love in life, so to speak. God's love, God's care. Another thing, the trouble with living life on a material level is that you'll miss out on abundant length in life. I mean, there is that physical reality that if you're stressed, if you're worried, it'll shorten your life. We know that now, medically and scientifically. Charles Mayo, Dr. Charles Mayo of Mayo Clinic fame, said, "Worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system." He goes on to say, "I've never met a man or known a man to die of overwork, but I have known a lot who die of worry." Do not worry, Jesus said. And the idea here, again, as we read, Jesus said, which of you, verse 27, by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, it won't make you any taller, or it won't give you more life. It won't add any length to your life. You're not going to add one cubit to your life, referring to maybe height or length. And I'm looking at it as referring to the length of life. It's not going to give you any more life. That's the idea. I wish I had more life, and I'm so stressed I don't have more life. You're not going to get life that way. In fact, you'll shorten your life that way. And again, Jesus wants us to be free. Free to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, knowing that all these other things will be added to you. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, actually did some research and determined that those that live a life of stress and worry live 7 years shorter. And so, just a medical fact that we have discovered. Of course, the Lord knew it all along, the Lord, the maker of us all. So The trouble with living life on a low level, on a material level, on a worldly level, pursuing the things of this world, of this life, living for those things, is that there's no life there. You'll miss out on life. Abundant life in life, abundant love in life, and abundant length in life. That's not to say that we're going to live, 969 years like Methuselah, but you get the idea. It's not good for you to worry. The Lord wants us to be free, carefree. And so he says in verse 28, so why do you worry? I don't know. I don't know, Lord, I do. And that's the second point. The first point was the trouble with worry or living life in that way on a low material level. The second point is the tendency to do so. It really is our tendency. You know why I know it's our tendency? Well, I know from experience. I also know it from the Bible, because Jesus said, why are you guys worried? In fact, the grammar is, why do you worry all of the time? Now, why did he say that? Well, it's because they worry all of the time. Don't you worry all of the time? Well, I'm not going to admit that in church, because I'm a Christian, I'm spiritual, I'm a deacon, I'm an elder. How many don't worry anymore? Raise your hand. No. Oh, so, okay, we got one guy. One guy. That means the rest of us worry. I'm worried for him now. He worries. We all do at some point. But what do we do with that worry? Jesus said, why do you worry? Why do you say that? Well, it's our tendency to worry. The Apostle Paul said, don't worry, but pray. In other words, when you find yourself worrying, pray. In other words, we all worry. It's our tendency. It's a sin. It's something that we don't want to do. Jesus said, do not worry. Said it three times. So it's wrong. It's a sin. Worry actually is another name for fear. Fear is not trusting the Lord. Right? And that's sin. I mean, even just Jesus saying, do not worry. And if we worry, then we're doing what he told us not to do. That's sin too. Yet we all do it. If we're honest. We all struggle, except for one of us. We all struggle on this issue. Because it's just the reality. I mean, life hits us hard. We're cruising along in life, and all of a sudden somebody stiff arms us, or something happens, a pipe breaks, or there's an accident, or somebody's sick, or there's an emergency. What's going to happen? What are we going to do? And we find ourselves beginning to be stressed. We worry. And then at some point, we remember, oh, that's right, Jesus said, don't worry. Paul said, pray, Lord, I'm really stressing here. Help me. But it is our tendency, and I think it's good to recognize that so that we don't live in worry. Another thing about worry, the King James says, take no thought. And it's dealing with the issue of thinking. It's really internal. Or take no anxious thought, you could say, as an interpretation. Or do not worry, or do not be anxious. Those are all good interpretations. It literally means to be drawn in two different directions. Worry pulls us apart. It pulls us away from our trust in the Lord. Worry is, again, another name for fear. It's the wrong use of our imagination. I mean, we start thinking about our circumstances and it just can get the better of us. I remember I was laying in bed one night and I thought, did I leave the dome light on the car? And I thought, well, I better get up, because if I don't wake up, or if I don't get up and turn it off, I'll wake up in the morning and the car battery would be dead. And if the battery's dead, I'll probably be late for work. If I'm late for work one more time, I'll lose my job. If I lose my job, we'll lose the house. If I lose the house, my wife will leave me and take the kids. What am I going to do? I mean, I'm just illustrating a point. I mean, there are those struggles that are in my heart that are very real, that are similar to that. I mean, worry can get the better of us, can it? And the Lord would say, look, don't worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air. They don't toil. The Lord takes care of them. Look at the fields. Look at the flowers. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like like these. So don't worry. If God can feed the birds and clothe the fields, can He take care of you? As I was driving here thinking about the power and majesty and greatness of our God, in other words, His ability, seeing the lightning and the power of the lightning, the thunderstorm, it just speaks of God's great power. God has power to take care of this planet, to take care of this world, to take care of this church, to take care of each family, to take care of each one of you, doesn't He? Isn't our God able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think? Yes, He is, and we forget that, and so we worry. But the Lord would say, don't worry. Don't worry. Now, I want to spend the remainder of our time considering the test of how we can tell if we're worrying. But before I do that, let me just mention that as a kind of a prelude to how we'll conclude. Jesus said this, again in verse 30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? In other words, why do you worry? God will take care of you. Is it because, why do you worry? Is it because, O you of little faith? Is it because there's little faith? Why do you worry? Is it because you're not trusting the Lord? Yes, I guess that's the answer. Why do you worry, O you of little faith? Can't God take care of you? That's what Jesus is saying to His disciples. And so faith is, and the fact that there's little faith is the reason for worry. And so faith is the cure for worry. Faith. Yes, my faith is little. Well, how do I grow in faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. When I hear the Word, we hear the Word tonight. We're encouraged. That's right, God feeds the birds, He clothes the fields, He can take care of me. And so, knowing God's Word, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, knowing that God is able, I'm encouraged to believe Him. But how do I know if I'm living life on a material level, on this low worldly level, on this temporary level, where I'm focused really on myself, on my own kingdom, my own world, building my own life, for this life, not for the life to come? How can I tell? Well, I think there's two indications here. Jesus goes on to say in verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? And what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. How can you tell? Well, what are you saying? He says, don't worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to, you know, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? That's what the Gentiles do. So He's saying to His disciples, here's how you can tell if you're worrying. He says, don't worry, saying what the rest of the world does, the Gentiles, the unbelievers. And what do they talk about? What we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to be clothed with. You know, that's what they talk about. They live for this world, the things of this world. They talk about the things of this life. What do you talk about? What do you talk about all of the time? Remember, we talked about how all this begins really in our thinking, in our soul, in our psyche, in our mind. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So guard your heart, Solomon said, for in them is the issues of life. Out of the heart is the issues of life. At Proverbs chapter 4. And so, what are you saying? What are you talking about all of the time? Play back the recorder. See, what do I talk about all of the time? What am I talking about all of the time? Or what's the focus of what I'm talking about? Is it the kingdom of God? Is it something else? It's a test. This is how you can tell if you're where you're living, where you're at, what your life is all about. If I were to follow you around and record your conversations for a couple, 3 weeks or a couple of months, what would it be about? Would it be about the kingdom of God? Would it be about something else? Would it be about what you eat or drink? Or where, it's not to say that we can't talk about, you know, what's for dinner. I come home from the office, what's for dinner? touch it. Can't do that. That's not the point. But what's the focus? What are you saying? What are you saying all the time? So much of the world is just so caught up in, you know, the crash, the bank failures, the economic crisis, and there's a lot to be talking about. Is that what your life is all about? Shopping or sports or the stock market? What do you talk about? It's an indicator of what's important to you. Do you talk as much about the Lord as about all of those other things? Do you talk more about the Lord? If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, if the Lord is the pride of your life, if higher things, living life on this high holy level, is what you're all about, well, that should come out of your mouth, shouldn't it? At some point. In fact, pretty regularly. So it tells us where we're at. Not only what we're saying, but what we're seeking. What we're seeking. Notice all these things the Gentiles seek. What are you seeking? So it goes from your thoughts to your talk to your feet. What are you pursuing? What's your goal in life? Is it just about this life? Does your goal end somewhere in this life? I hope it doesn't. There's no life there. You'll sell yourself short. Is your goal in life end at retirement? Or is it in heaven, in the kingdom of God, investing in the kingdom of God? What are you seeking? What are you living for? I mean, what really excites you? What's your pursuits? What's your life all about? Play back the video camera. And we've been watching you. And you'll be on the screen next Wednesday night of what your life is all about. What is it all about? It's a good question, isn't it? And it's a test. It indicates where we're at and what really is important to us. The Gentiles, man, they just seek after this life. And sadly, the church too often seeks after the things of this life. So you get the idea. So the application is simple. Seek first the kingdom of God. Notice it says, Jesus is saying to his disciples, but you seek first the kingdom of God. The Gentiles, they're talking about this life and their pursuits are in this life only, but you seek first the kingdom of God. Let that be the priority of your life. Seek first his kingdom, his rule, his reign, his will. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom. We're not about building our own kingdom, our own little empire, our own little corner, our own little niche, doing our own little thing with our own little agenda. Our life is to be about the kingdom of God. Amen? Right? You seek first the kingdom of God. Again, to quote C.S. Lewis, aim at earth, you'll miss heaven. But if you aim at heaven, you'll get heaven and earth too. Jesus said the meek will inherit the earth. Everything that so many are scratching and scraping for, they're going to get. If they're a Christian. And they're going to have lots of regrets before the judgment seat of Christ. And so what's the priority of your life? That's the idea. What's the priority of your life? Is it God's kingdom? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Too often we're like those me first disciples. Matthew chapter 8, let me first go and, you know, do this or that. But the priority must be the Lord. Is the kingdom of God first when it comes to your time each day? Okay, this is a day God's given me, and so he's first. Is that your life? Do you give him the first and best of your day? The first and best of your week? Hey, it's the first day of the week. It's Sunday. And the Lord is first. He's the pride of my life. I'm going to church. I'm gathering with the saints. Is he first in your financial decisions? When you get that paycheck on payday, is the kingdom of God, is that what you're thinking about first? Is it the kingdom of God when you're making decisions? Do you make decisions thinking about the kingdom of God or apart from the kingdom of God, about your vocation. I mean, are you thinking, okay, God has given me this life. He's given me these gifts. The Bible says there's good works that He's prepared beforehand that I should walk in them. What are they? I don't care about that. I like this. I'm just going to do this. Now, very often God leads us by our desires, but too often there isn't a thought of, is this what you have for me? Is this what you've called me to do? Is this where I'm called to be? And then lastly, your relationships. Is the kingdom of God the priority? Is the Lord first? And is He number one when it comes to relationships? Every other relationship is second to Him. That's what Jesus said. He said, don't worry about your life. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, somebody would think, maybe you're thinking, that doesn't sound very practical. Again, we've got to, you know, take care of our life. But Jesus said in concluding, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry about tomorrow. You start thinking about tomorrow, the weight of that will be added to the worry of today. And then the next day, the weight of that will be added to the worry of today. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry about all that stuff. You add all of that, it's too much. God gives grace for today. As the days are, so will your strength be, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 33:25. So don't worry about tomorrow. It's not to say that we shouldn't plan. A wise man, you know, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, Solomon said. It's good to plan. But you don't want to be like the man in James, or the man that James talks about, who says, I'm going to go do this and do that. James says, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. Because you don't know. What is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a moment, then it's gone. Again, this life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I just want to encourage you that I think too often we can invest too much in this world when the Lord would have us to live at a higher level, investing in His kingdom. Are you living on that high and holy level? There's three words that can summarize, I think, how to address this issue. The first is faith in verse 30. Oh, you have little faith. And so if we're trusting the Lord, then we're not worrying. The second is Father. Twice we see that. But your Father knows the things that you need of in verse 32. If we're trusting the Lord, who is our Father, who loves us, cares for us, will take care of us, then what are we worried about? My Father will take care of me. And then finally, the word first. If we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. As Pastor Chuck has taught, and maybe you've heard this, but I think it bears repeating, if we'll maintain our relationship with the Lord, if we'll maintain the vertical, the Lord will take care of the horizontal. Seek first the kingdom of God. And so faith, Father, and first, that'll free us from the worry of this life, the cares of this life. We trust in our Father, and He's the priority of our life because He's got a glorious plan. He loves me. He loves you. He's got a high and holy calling for your life. Good works that He has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. You don't want to come short of it, do you? You don't want to get to heaven and go, man, I missed it. I blew it. You don't want to be like Saul at the end of his life. King Saul said, I've played the fool. So I want to encourage you. And I know some of you are charging on fire. So I want to encourage you, keep charging. You know, there is pressure to, again, to be pulled away, to be pulled in many directions. Just keep fighting the good fight of faith. Let's live for the Lord and serve Him. Let's live for the kingdom of God. May that be the pride of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Pastor Gene.
All right. Praise the Lord. Tonight, as always, we're going to end in worship. And as we are fond of telling you, on Wednesday nights, we call it a believer's meeting because pretty much everybody here knows each other a little bit more intimately than on a Sunday morning. We don't generally have seekers coming on Wednesday nights. We're all familiar with the church and love the Lord. And so on Wednesday nights during our worship, we give the freedom that if you would like to express yourself in your posture, we give more freedom than we would on a Sunday morning where we have a lot of people visiting, a lot of people who are unfamiliar with the Lord, or perhaps people who have had different or difficult backgrounds with the church. And so on Wednesday nights, if you would like to stand during worship, that's fine. If you would like to kneel, that's also fine. Do what you do as unto the Lord and not distracting to other people, of course. But first we're going to spend a few minutes in congregational prayer. And we'll have some prayer requests scrolling if you need some things to pray for. But, you know, just to continue in Pastor John's encouragement, let's each of us take the time to be like David, the king, the poet, who said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me." He asked the Lord to look for those anxious thoughts and to look for those fearful parts of his life. And so let's each of us take the time to invite the Lord to examine us and see where we might gain ground in our relationship with him. And then we'll have a few moments, of course, to pray for those around us. Everybody in here knows somebody who's not saved and who's moments away from an eternity apart from Jesus Christ, and we can pray for those people and pray that the gospel be brought to those people. And there's so many other things to pray for and to bring before the Lord. And so, as always, you know, feel free to pray by yourself or with the people you came with. Feel free to pray with the people in your row or in your general area. If you feel like the Lord wants you to pray for someone, be bold and go over and say, "Hey, the Lord put you on my heart. I would like to pray for you." And so let's do that. The worship team will come up at 8 o'clock, and we'll just end our night well. Amen? Amen.